Hallelujah. That's a real picture of exercising our spirit, right? So here we are. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Am I okay now?
Amen.
Okay, good. Good. All right. Now, it says at Hebron, God was revealed to Abraham as the God in His human friendship. How about this? The God in His human friendship. Abraham was the friend of God. Are you with me? This is C4. The God in His human friendship. Saints, tell the Lord this. Lord, I want You to be my best friend.
Amen.
Can you pray that?
Lord, I
want You to be my best friend. Oh, we need Him to be our... If He's your best friend, you talk to Him about everything. You could talk to Him about anything. Just talk to Him. Be real with Him. Be sincere with Him. If you look in the Psalms, wasn't the psalmist sincere with the Lord? He was very, very sincere. And of course, you have a lot of mixed sentiments there. But it's by passing through those mixed sentiments that you get to the purity of God Himself, you see. So, we need the God in His human friendship so that He might gain Him. See, when we're friends of God and we begin to talk to God, we have an intimate relationship with God, then the Lord gains us to be His intercessor. Is everybody with me? Okay, now stay with me here. Here you are, you're talking to God. You're His friend. You say, Lord Jesus, I just love You so much. There's no one like You. Infuse me, Lord. Transfuse me. Fill me. Saturate me. And then you're fellowshipping with the Lord. You're praying, reading His Word. You're praying over His Word. You're calling on Him. Even you're telling Him, Lord, I'm so weak. I can't do anything apart from You. I desperately need You today. I don't want to take a breath apart from You. And you're praying. Then you pray yourself into God, and then you become His intercessor. You see, you have to get through that human friendship, and then He makes you His intercessor, and then you begin to pray for others. You see, He puts someone on your heart. Like Sean will be praying sometime this week. He'll be enjoying the Lord, and then the Lord will remind him, pray for Brother Ed. Pray for Brother... Hallelujah. And you'll say, oh, Lord Ed. And all of a sudden, I'll be back in California. Somebody's praying for me. Right? I really mean it. We're in the body. We get the supply of the body. You see? So look. It says, so that He might gain Him to be His intercessor for the rescue of His backslidden believers. You see, in this portion, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and I can't get into the whole story because it's very deep, very detailed. But the Lord appeared to him with two angels, appeared to him as in the form of a man. It's really remarkable. And they had a long conversation. They didn't mention Lot's name, but they were talking about Lot and about rescuing Lot. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to rescue. We need to have in our mind, don't criticize the brothers and sisters. We need to rescue the brothers and sisters. We need to pray, Lord, rescue brother so-and-so. Lord, rescue sister so-and-so. If you see something wrong with a brother, wrong with a sister, don't criticize. Don't criticize. You know, in 1 John 5:16, I love this verse because it has three parts to it. It says, if you see your brother sinning a sin not unto death, let's say you see, Sean sees me and he sees that I'm down and I'm discouraged, and the Lord shows him that. What should be the next step with Sean? Well, Sean shouldn't criticize. He shouldn't say, oh, look at Brother Ed. He needs to turn to his spirit. Why doesn't he exercise his spirit? No, he should do this. He should ask. You see, he should ask. This is 1 John 5:16. He should ask. He should say, oh, Lord, Brother Ed. Sometimes just to do that is good enough. Oh, Lord, Sister Ruth. Of course, I'm thinking of Ruth. You know, oh, Lord, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. You ask, you see. And then after you ask, it says, if you see your brother sinning a sin not unto death, you will ask and he will give him life.
Amen.
He will give him life. Give life. So see, brothers and sisters, we need to be, I'll put on here, we need to be askers. Askers. Be an asker. Don't be a criticizer. Be an asker. Ask. Don't go to visit someone before you have asked the Lord. Put them in the Lord's presence. Do you follow me? You see what I'm saying? You see, Brother Ed's having a hard time. He hasn't been in the meetings for a while. Ask. Say, oh, Lord Jesus, what about Brother Ed? And then follow the Lord's, follow that GPS in your spirit. You see what I mean? Because there's a timing as to when you might visit me. It might not be the right time yet, but there'll be a time when maybe the Lord will move you to visit me. You see? And then when you visit me, you will just have the Lord's presence with you. You will have the Lord's love with you. You won't say, hey, where have you been? Why haven't you been in the meetings? Right? You'll just bring the Lord's presence with you, the Lord's love with you. There'll be no judgmental spirit there at all. And then your coming to me brings the Lord's presence to me. And then what we don't realize, when we leave, you know what happens a lot? The person says, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Because that person, you brought the Lord's presence, and light is the presence of God. You see that? And then the person will pray, Lord, forgive me, I repent. You see what I mean? And then, you see what I mean? See, ask, and give life. See, ask, and give life. I'll just say that much. And we bring forth Christ. That was the birth of Isaac and the destruction of the works of the devil and his chosen people. That's the destruction of Sodom. Okay, now Roman numeral 4. Abraham's dwelling in a tent, a movable abode, testified that he did not belong to the world, but lived the life of a sojourner on earth. Saints, we do not belong to the world. We belong to Jesus. You know, that's a fact. You belong to Jesus. You do not belong to the world. Erecting a tent is an expression, a declaration, a testimony that we do not belong to this world, but that we belong to another country, the New Jerusalem. Saints, I love this portion. Because what is our country? Our country is the New Jerusalem. You know, and again, forgive me, I served with Brother Lee for many years, so I use examples of my service with him. I treasure all the time I got to spend with him. One time we were in a meeting and I was sitting in the back. And he said, Brother Ed, where are you from? Can you imagine that? You're sitting in the back and all of a sudden, Brother Lee says, where are you from, Brother Ed? And again, you know, my heart's like, you know, and I said, why is Brother Lee asking me where I'm from? You know, all this is going on within me within 2 seconds, you know. It seemed like an eternity. You know, he knows where I'm from. Why is he asking me where I'm from? Lord, why did this have to happen to me? You know, I was sitting in the back. I thought I wouldn't get called on. Okay, anyway, I said, well, Brother Lee, I'm from Texas. And he said, Ed, you're not from Texas. You're from the New Jerusalem. Listen, the New Jerusalem is our country. And listen to this. The local churches are the embassies of the New Jerusalem. How about that? Listen, do you realize if you're in Tokyo, let's say, let's use Tokyo as an example. If I go to a United States embassy, let's say this is the U.S. embassy, as soon as I pass through that gate and I get into that embassy, I am in the United States. Am I right? I am on United States soil, even though I'm in Tokyo. Okay, look, here you are in the world. You're from the New Jerusalem. As soon as you step into the local church, you are on the soil of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Not only that, we are ambassadors of Christ. The local church is the embassy. We are ambassadors. So we go out of the embassy to represent Christ to others, to bring them into the embassy, which is a miniature of the New Jerusalem. And not only that, you know who our flag is? Jehovah is our flag. According to Exodus 17:15, it says Jehovah Nisi. Moses built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nisi, which means Jehovah is my banner or Jehovah is my flag. So the New Jerusalem is our country. The local church is our embassy. We're the ambassadors, and the triune God is our flag. Isn't that wonderful? And not only that, I forgot one verse, Song of Songs 2:4. It says, His banner over me is love. So love is our flag also. The triune God as love is our flag. Now A says, by living the life of the altar and the tent, Abraham bore God's testimony, God's expression. B, God's purpose in choosing His people is for them to become His testimony, a great and holy nation. God's goal is to gain a group of people who will declare, I belong to Jehovah, I am the Lord's. Let's declare that together. I belong to Jehovah, I am the Lord's. In Romans 14 it says, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And He died and rose again so that He might be Lord. He wants to be the Lord in every area of our life. Okay, C. Let's read C together. Isn't that wonderful? To be His witnesses is to be His testimony. And to be His testimony is to be His portrait, His expression. If we are Christ's testimony, His portrait, people will see Him wherever we go. That is so marvelous. You know, one time I was working, I taught English at the Language Institute at this university, North Texas State. And my boss, he was a new professor, and he was the head of the Language Institute, and he called me in his office shortly after he began to, be the head of the institute. And I thought, wow, I wonder why he's calling me in his office. Did I do something wrong or something? So he said, Ed, have a seat. And then he did this. He said, Ed, I want to know something. Why do Christians suffer? Why do Christians suffer? And I never told him I was a Christian. But he asked, why do Christians suffer? That's quite a question, right? How would you answer that question? Why do Christians suffer? Yeah. I don't know what that... Sean said to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. I think that might have... Maybe that wouldn't, encouraged him so much at that moment. You know what I mean? Anyway, I didn't answer right away. I really considered. But the point is he knew that I was a Christian. I was flying my banner. My banner was flying at work. My banner was a triune God. Everybody at work knew I was a Christian. Listen, wherever you are at school, everybody should know you are a believer in Christ.
Amen.
Everybody should know you're a Christian. First by your person, second by your words. You should testify of Christ. Someone invites you to a party and says, come on to the party. You know, we're going to be drinking, we're going to be partying. You can say, look, so-and-so, I really like you, I really respect you, but I can't go there. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a Christian. And so the Lord won't allow me to go there because I belong to the Lord. They'll respect that. And if you fly that flag of being a Christian, that's going to protect you from all kinds of evils. You know, it's amazing. When I worked for Pennzoil Company, how old was I when I worked there, when I started work there? 23 years old. I had gotten saved, and then I came to church life. And this brother and I, we had a Bible study at work at Pennzoil Company, and we would take our Bibles onto the elevator. And it was amazing. When we'd go on the elevator, we'd have our Bibles, and we're standing with our Bibles, and everybody would go like this. And they'd be looking at our Bible and looking at us. I mean, why would they do that? If I had the, what's that called, the Bhagavad-gita or whatever? What is the Bhagavad-gita? If I had the Bhagavad-gita, people wouldn't do that, right? They have courses in that. Am I right? Yeah, they have courses in that. I can't believe the courses they have in college nowadays. It is unthinkable to me. Okay, listen, I will just tell you this. I hate to even say this, but it's a fact. I went to my son's graduation at UCLA, and I was looking at the degree programs to see what the degrees are. I said, oh, economics, mechanical engineering, English, history. Then there's one degree, you can get a degree in transgender studies. I tell you, I almost fell out of my chair. What is this? What is this? That is darkness. Total dark. That's a degree in darkness. I majored in darkness. That's just as bad as getting a degree in atheism. Just as bad. You know. And don't think we don't love. We love everyone, right? You know, Corinth was a very wicked city. You look at 1 Corinthians 6. He says, Paul says, these kind of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkards, extortioners. He uses all these kinds of different people. One of them is homosexuals. Am I right? But he says this, such were some of you. Right? Such were some of you. In other words, you were like that. You saints in Corinth, you used to be sinful like that. Such were some of you, but, praise the Lord for but. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. Saints, we love all mankind and we are all sinners. We're not set up to be judges, right? We're here to love people, preach the gospel to people, but we have to identify sin as sin. If you stop identifying sin as sin in your being, that's when you get in trouble. You see what I mean? You have to call sin one. If I sin, I have to say, Lord, I sinned. You see? If I say this isn't sin, and I major in sin, you see what I mean? Let's say I'm an extortioner, and I say, oh, it's okay to extort people. In fact, I'm going to get a degree in extortioning. You know? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't know. Okay, where am I? I'm on being His testimony. Be a testimony. People should see Christ in you. We witness for Christ in the sense of being His portraits. Hence, all gospel preachers are actually witnesses, portraits of Christ. Roman numeral 5, Abraham had his failures, and there was the forsaking of the altar and the tent. However, with him there was a recovery, and the Lord's recovery is a matter of returning to the altar and the tent with calling on the name of the Lord. Abraham's tent with the altar built by him was a prefigure of the tabernacle of the testimony with the altar built by the children of Israel. Abraham's tent was a miniature of the New Jerusalem, the ultimate tent, the ultimate tabernacle of God. So eventually, Abraham's tent, the ultimate tabernacle will be the New Jerusalem. That is the tent of meeting. When we become the New Jerusalem, that meeting will never be dismissed. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Okay, did I read C? I'm sorry, brothers. Did I read C?
Yeah, yeah.
I did read C. So we're in Roman numeral 6. Is that correct? Okay. Roman numeral 6. The life of Abraham reveals that migration is God's heart's desire. The destination of the migrating triune God is man's human spirit so that he may be fully mingled with man to become the New Jerusalem. See, we talked about this in the first session, right? The destination of the migrating triune God is man's human spirit. How is he going to get to my human spirit? He needs people who are his witnesses, who are his portraits, who are gospel preachers. Am I right? And saints, even a gospel tract is a great, great thing if you give people a gospel tract. You know, someone left a gospel tract in a laundromat. I went there and I read that tract and I received the Lord and that changed my life. And I don't know who did that. I don't know who put that gospel tract in that laundromat, but I owe them so much. And I believe in the next age or in eternity, I'm going to meet, that person's going to say, Ed, I'm the one that left that gospel tract in that laundromat. And oh, we're just going to be, anyway, hallelujah. That's going to, I really am looking forward to that. Who put that track there? Who put that track there? I tell you, if you're afraid of people, go run to the laundromats and just put tracks in laundromats. People sitting there, they're looking at their laundry, they're bored, you know what I mean? They pick up a track, and then they pray that prayer at the end of the track, they get saved. They get saved. That happened to me. There's one story about this brother was passing out gospel tracts, one brother, and the person just crumpled it up and threw it on the ground. And so another person came along, he had a hole in his shoe, and he picked up that crumpled up paper, took off his shoe, and he put it in the hole in his shoe. And then he walked down the road, and when he got to where he was, he took off his shoe, he uncrumpled the paper, it was a tract, he read it, prayed the prayer, and he got saved. That's true. If they throw it down, that's fine. Let's just wallpaper the earth with Christ. See, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's right. Pass out tracts. Preach the gospel. Be a testimony. Hey, when God created man in His image and with His dominion, He blessed man and charged man to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. God's desire was for man to fill the entire earth.
Amen.
Image is for God's corporate expression through the priesthood. Dominion is for God's corporate representation through the kingship. God's blessing always follows His image, the priesthood expressing God, and His dominion, the kingship representing God. The name Abram, meaning exalted father, was changed to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. For man to be multiplied is for the all-sufficient God to be expressed and represented on the whole earth. E, the name Sarai, meaning my princess, was changed to Sarah, meaning princess, who is a mother of nations. Isn't that wonderful? Father of a multitude, a mother of nations. F, the real changing of a name is the change from I to Christ. Only Christ, the all-sufficient God, not I, can fulfill God's purpose. Then finally, as a whole, the God of Abraham is the God of speaking, in appearing, with calling, in a vision, and in the human friendship. I love that. In the human friendship. In order to unveil to His intimate friend on the earth what He aspired for Him to be. You see, we want the Lord to be our intimate friend so we know what He aspires for us to be and what He wants us to do according to His heart's desire for the accomplishment of the eternal economy for the divine Trinity. Okay, so that's this outline. Now let's come to the last outline. The goal of the gospel. The goal of the gospel. Praise the Lord. The goal of the gospel. And we just sang a marvelous song on the goal of the gospel. Roman numeral 1 says, the goal of the gospel is that like Mary, who did what she could. You know, you got this story of Mary. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They're in the house of Simon the leper. And no doubt Simon was a leper who got healed by the Lord. And because he got healed and recovered by the Lord, he wanted to have the Lord in his home. And so Martha, Mary, Lazarus, the Lord Jesus, Simon the leper were there, right? And see, if we're saved sinners, we want to invite people over to where we live. Listen, even if you're a single brother, Andrew, do you live with some brothers? Well, you live with your parents. Okay, so and your parent, your dad's a brother and your mother's a sister. And do they have the saints over? They don't. Oh, okay, yeah, keep talking about it. Yeah, that's good, that's good. But anyway, Andrew, my point was is this. See, Andrew, sometimes, where do you meet, Andrew? In Dunnoring. Okay, so you know Matt, right? Okay, so, you see, you're like, I'm Ed the leper. Like Simon the leper, you know? I've been healed by the Lord. So I'm Ed the leper. I used to be a leper, but I'm healed. But I'm still Ed the leper. I'm a sinner. and you're Andrew the leper. So what do we want to do? Oh, we just want to have the Lord for a meal, right? And we want to have the brothers and sisters. So you know what you can do, Andrew? You can invite Matt out. You can take him to a restaurant, right? You have a couple extra dollars, right? Anyway, I tell you, this means a lot. If you're in a dorm or something, have the brothers over. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the food is. We're not here for the food. We're here for the Lord Jesus. You know, when Ruth and I first got married, we would invite, like we'd say, okay, let's invite this couple, this saint, and this saint over. And then by the time the meeting ended, I had invited 5 or 7 or 8 more people over. And Ruth said, what are we going to do? I said, no problem. We'll just drive through Kentucky Fried Chicken. No problem. No problem at all. You know, the saints, we're just there for the Lord Jesus. So see, there was this gathering. Martha was serving. Mary broke an alabaster box full of ointment, and she poured that ointment out on the Lord. She poured everything she had out on the Lord. Martha was serving. Lazarus was there testifying of the Lord's resurrection. Lazarus had just been resurrected. Can you imagine that? Lazarus didn't have to say a thing. He just... And people would look at him and say, I believe in Jesus. They would. You read the Bible. It says many believed on him when they saw Lazarus. They're just, wow, I believe in Jesus. And can you believe the opposing religionists were so evil that somebody had just been resurrected and they wanted to kill him. He was already dead. He got resurrected. And so because many people were believing in Jesus because of him, they didn't want to just kill the Lord Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus also. But Lazarus is there testifying. So you come in and you see a person in resurrection. I tell you, when you go to the saints' homes and you're having a group meeting, you can see people there in resurrection, right? They're just sitting there, right? And you just, oh, wow, look at brother so-and-so. I'm so glad to see him. You know, you go to Ken's home. Look at brother Ken. Oh, I see Ken and I just see resurrection. You know, Ken's in there way in the back, you know. And then you have some sisters. You have Martha serving. You know, they're serving food or they're serving practical service. Look at all the practical service that took place for this to take place. You realize? A lot of practical service so that we could enjoy the Lord. We had a lot of Marthas. And then you have Mary pouring everything out on the Lord. Now, don't get the wrong concept. We all need to be Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. We need to be a triangular member of the church. We need to be Martha, Lazarus, Mary. We need to be serving ones. We need to be testifying ones in resurrection. And we need to be loving ones, pouring out our whole being on the Lord Jesus. Saints, pour out your whole being on the Lord Jesus. Nothing is better than this. The Lord said... You know, I wrote this down. I want to get it word for word. And we sang this. He said, truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be told as a memorial of her. And listen to this. We're talking about her right now. So wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial of her. Can you imagine 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what Mary had done? Now, this is the gospel. What is the gospel composed of? The gospel, number one, is composed of the Lord's loving us. Doesn't the Lord love us? He loves us. That's half of the gospel. You remember we said the name Habakkuk means embracing or clinging to. Okay. So the Lord's loving us is His embracing us as sinners. But that's half of the gospel. The second half is us loving the Lord. And that's our clinging to Him. You see, He embraces us so that we might cling to Him. He loves us so that we can love Him. One is for ourselves. His loving us is for our salvation. Us loving Him is for our consecration. You see. And so we need to, saints, Don't leave without consecrating everything to the Lord.
Amen.
Everything in your being to the Lord. All that you are. It says even, let me read Romans 1. The goal of the gospel is that like Mary, who did what she could. She did what she could. You know, in Mark, when it says this, she did what she could, you could also translate this, what she had, she did. What she had, she did. So, saints, we need to do what we can. We have, according to Revelation 3:8, it says that the saints in Philadelphia, they had a little power. And the note on that, the footnote in the recovery version, it says, what pleases the Lord is not our doing much for Him, but our doing our best for Him with what we have. You see? So we might just have this much, but we need to pour out what we have on the Lord, whatever we have on the Lord. Kathy, how many kids do you have? No, I'm sorry. Three boys, right? Kathy has three boys. I have four boys. We beat her by one, right? Anyway, she has three boys. And Kathy, when you were single, you could do a lot, you know? You could do a lot of things, but now you're really limited by those three boys, right? You and Mark have to trade off. Mark's home with the three boys. When you get back, he's going to say, hallelujah. He's going to be so, you know, praise the Lord, Kathy, you know, but it's so good, you see? But, pardon me? He's gaining God. He's doing what he should do in the Lord, and he's doing what he can do in the Lord and for the Lord. You see what I mean? And so is Kathy. You see, we're all limited, but we do what we can. It's like Benjamin said, we have one talent. Don't compare yourself with somebody who you think might have two talents or might have five talents. No, I have this much time. I have this much energy. I have this much in my being. You know what I'm going to do? I might just have a little, but I'm going to waste it all on the Lord Jesus. You see, they said, why? You know, the disciples, their concept was all wrong. When she poured out that alabaster flask full of ointment, they said, Judas took the lead. He said, why was this waste made? This could have been sold and given to the poor. But the other disciples said the same thing. They said, why this waste? You know, waste means something is worth $10 and you paid $100,000 for it. You know, that means you wasted your money. Well, that means they didn't see the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. Saints, we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see your preciousness. Yes, we do want to be wasted upon Him, but we want to be wasted upon Him, quote, quote, in a positive way. We want to be wasted upon Him, again, in quotes, pouring out our whole lives on Him. And we've got a note in Matthew that says, throughout the history of the church, you know, thousands of precious lives have been poured out on Him. Thousands of hearts, treasures, high positions, and golden futures have been poured out on the Lord Jesus. And actually, these are not a waste, but they are fragrant testimony of His sweetness.
Amen.
Fragrant testimony of His sweetness. So, saints, oh, there's just so much here. Thousands of precious lives, heart treasures, high positions, golden futures. Anyway, she did what she could. And so we would pour out upon the Lord Jesus what is most precious to us, even our most costly and valuable spiritual treasure. Now, here you pour out your life on the Lord. You pour out your heart treasure on the Lord. You pour out your position on the Lord. You pour out your future on the Lord. Not only that, you pour out your spiritual treasure on the Lord. And what is a spiritual treasure? It's something of the all-inclusive Spirit that's been wrought into your being through the working of the cross. It's been wrought deeply into your being through the working of the cross. That becomes a spiritual treasure in your being. But that treasure of the Spirit that's been worked into your being through sufferings, through pressures, and through the working of the cross, that becomes a spiritual treasure that you pour out on the Lord Jesus that is just for His satisfaction. It is not for anybody else. It isn't even for your satisfaction. It's for His satisfaction, His happiness. Okay, A. Being grateful to the Lord and loving Him, Simon the leper spread a feast in his house for the Lord and His disciples in order to enjoy His presence. A saved sinner would always do this, would always do this. Isn't this wonderful? I love that. The gospel of God causes genuine believers to have a great change in their concept of value. Whereas others reject the Lord, we treasure Him and value His surpassing worth and supreme preciousness. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen, you love." We haven't seen Him with our physical eyes, but I want to ask you, right now, do you love the Lord Jesus? How about we say, "Lord Jesus, I love you." Lord Jesus, I love you. Okay, brothers.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Sisters.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Okay, all together. Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, we just love Him. Listen, the more you tell Him you love Him, the more valuable He becomes to you. You just tell Him that you love Him. Whereas others reject the Lord, we treasure Him and value His surpassing worth and supreme preciousness. You see, He was rejected by men, but with God He's chosen and precious. One says, we need to ask the Lord to grant us the light. Here, can we read one all together while I get some water? Let's read one all together. Saints, don't let this point go. Don't let this point go. Ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, give me the light to have a change in my concept of value so that every time I will continually choose You and all that You are as my super excelling portion." Paul said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And you know what, saints? Right before this, I love this portion of the Word, 2 Corinthians 4:7, because just before this in verse 6, it says, "Because the God who said, 'Out of darkness light shall shine,' is the One who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God." Now listen to this. "In the face of Jesus Christ." The face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What is this treasure? This treasure is not a doctrinal Christ. This treasure is not a historical Christ. This treasure is the face of Jesus Christ. So His face is our treasure. His person is our treasure. His presence is our treasure. And if you go back to 2 Corinthians 2:10, it's the same Greek word where Paul said, "I forgave that brother in the person of Christ." You could say in the face of Christ. It's the same word. So, saints, the face of Christ means the part around the eyes. It's His person. It's His look. It's the index of His inward thoughts and feelings. You see, so what we treasure is His presence. What we treasure is His eyes. What we treasure is His look. You see, right now, Andrew's looking at me, so I have His presence. But if Andrew's head was down, oh, I wouldn't have His presence. But because Andrew loves the Lord, and he loves me, he's looking at me, he's smiling, his eyes are smiling, that makes me happy, I have His presence. How about when we have the Lord's presence? You see, that's in our spirit. When we turn our spirit, according to 1 Peter 3:4, is the hidden man of our heart. That means our heart surrounds our spirit. Our mind, emotion, our will, our conscience is a part of our spirit and a part of our heart. When we turn our hearts to the Lord, we are turning inwardly to Him in our spirit. That's the face of Jesus Christ in our spirit. You see, and that is our treasure. He is our treasure. If you have His presence, you have everything. If you lose His presence, you lose everything. Okay, two, if you bring out the precious from the worthless, you will be as my mouth. You see, when Christ becomes so precious to us, when we're speaking for the Lord, and we bring out the precious things of Christ to people, then we become the Lord's mouthpiece. We become His mouth. We need to pray that we would be such people. Now, C says, the proper concept of value for the believers can be seen in their estimation and assessment of the following aspects of Christ and His full salvation. Number one, their valuation of the Lord Jesus. Number two, their valuation of the word of the cross. See, the word of the cross is foolishness to people. But to us, the word of the cross is the power of God. The cross is the power of God to us. When Christ's death is operating in our being, in my being, that is the power of God to me. But the word of the cross is foolishness to the unbelievers. How about this? Their valuation of God's kingdom and righteousness in comparison to a man's daily necessity. So, the Lord told us, He said, the Gentiles are eagerly seeking what they should eat, what they should wear, what they should put on. He said, don't you be like that. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Saints, we shouldn't worry about our material situation. We need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. The Lord said the Gentiles are anxiously seeking these things. You know, anxiety, listen to this, anxiety is the gear that makes the whole world turn. You consider Wall Street, you consider people rushing to their jobs back and forth, it's anxiety. That anxiety is the gear that makes Satan's empire turn. But listen, we shouldn't be anxious about anything. We have the multi-trillion, billion, zillion, gajillion-dollar presence of the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
I don't know what numbers are. Some of you, Randall, what's the highest number? Septillion. My goodness, septillion. Can you imagine? I don't even know what that is. So I won't even try to find out. Septillion. Anyway, we have this treasure, so we should seek Him. Seek Him. Don't worry about our daily necessities. Their valuation of the Lord Jesus in comparison to our relatives. You know, the Lord said this. He said, now we need to love our father. We need to love our mother. We need to love our sons. We need to love our daughters. We need to love our relatives. But on the other hand, we shouldn't love them above the Lord. Whatever and whoever we love above the Lord, we make that thing an idol. You see? If I love my dad, my physical dad, who is now with the Lord, if I would have loved him above the Lord, he would have been an idol. He would have had the first place, and the Lord would have had the second place. And you know what happened? What would have happened? That would have damaged him. He would have never gotten saved if I hadn't put the Lord first. And listen, I will just give you a testimony. You know, when I got saved, I came in the church life, you know, My physical dad and I, we were very close. We were very close. We were like, we were buddies, you know. And I really loved my dad. I still love him. I still love him. And he said, Ed, what's happened to you? He said, I can't even talk to you anymore. You know, and of course we were still talking. It was no different. But when you receive the Lord, you see something right away happens. The person sees something has happened to Ed. Christ is in him. He's different now. He's not the Ed that I used to know. Even though he still loves me, and I know deep within that he still loves me, and I know that he'll still, you know, talk to me, but there's something there that he has that I don't have. And so, that bothered him. He said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And so, our relationship just, and the Lord said, this will happen. This will happen. And so that was a big suffering to me. I said, Lord Jesus, but I prayed for my dad. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for him. And eventually he got saved. He got saved. And that was and he met the brothers. He met the brothers in the church life. You know, he was older too. He was an elderly person. And elderly, I forget how old he was then. I'm getting elderly now. I forget how old he was, Ruthie. Was he in his 70s then? He was in his 70s. He met the brothers, you know. He came over to the brother's house, you know, a brother's house. And so I brought him to the brother's house, and I was really worried. What are the brothers going to say? Are they going to blast him out of the water with their machine guns? You need to be conformed to the image of Christ, Mr. Marks. I'm teasing you, Sean. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. And anyway, I was concerned. But they were so Jesusly human with him. They were Jesusly. They weren't just human, they were Jesusly. They said, "Mr. Marks, it's so good to meet you." And there was a divine dignity there with them. And they just were so human and so proper and so uplifted. And I was just, "Lord Jesus," I was just praying inwardly. And I don't even remember what they said so much. My dad, of course, said, "Well, where do you work?" You know, he had some of them where they work, you know. And you know, when Borak said, "Well, I work for Shell and I do such and such at Shell," he said, "You do. You do." Because the brothers, they don't advertise who they are, what they've done, where they're from. All of us are just, you know, we realize we're nothing, right, apart from the Lord. The Lord Jesus is our treasure. But then after that meal and after that fellowship we had, my dad came out of their house, out of Wynn's house. It was Wynn's house. And he turned to my mother. My mother's name is Dorothy. Actually, my mother's saved. She's been saved for years and years. He said, "Dorothy, I never met people like that in my entire life." He said, "They're shining." And he was an unbeliever. And he said, "They're shining." And I went like this, "They are inside." I said, you don't appreciate the saints. The saints are shining. The saints are shining. If you look around, you know, just look around. I mean, you'll see some people sleeping, but you can see some people. You can see some people shining. I see people shining. Even the sleepers are shining. I'm teasing the sleepers, I tell you. And somebody will go, "Wake up, Brother Ed said you were sleeping." Okay, where am I? Okay, don't love. He says, if anyone loves father, mother, son, daughter above me, he's not worthy of me. You see, love the Lord above every person and above everything. You will never regret it. Never regret it. And it will become a benefit. Eventually, my dad got saved. My dad got saved. Oh, Lord Jesus. Still praying for some of my family members. Okay. 5. Their valuation of a man's soul in comparison to the whole world. You know, some people, you know, in Babylon, it said part of the cargo in Babylon is the souls of men. And the note says, people will sell their soul for their occupations, neglecting God and their eternal destiny. Isn't that horrible? You sell your soul to your occupation, and you neglect God and your eternal destiny. Saints, think about how terrible that is. Let's say you worked for a big company. You know, when I graduated from college, I worked for an oil company, Pennzoil Company. And you know, you don't start out, you know, you start out on a kind of a bottom rung, but I remember I was in there, you know, I had a suit on, tie, you know, and I go into the elevator, I go up to the 20th floor, I come down, I go home, I eat, I do a few things, I go to sleep, I go back, go up to the 20th floor, come down, go back, do a few things, eat, go back, up to the 20th floor, go down, come back. Then you have the weekend, then you go back, you go up to the 20th floor, down. I said, "What is this? This is the end of my life. What is this?" You say, "Oh, this man has a bright future. He's going up in the world. He's on the 20th floor. Pretty soon he'll be on the 40th floor." You know, and I'll say, "Well, you know," I said, "What is that? Eventually, I'm going to be going up and down, up and down, up and down for 30 years, and eventually I'm going to end up in a coffin. And I have sold my soul for my occupation, and it means nothing in the sight of God. It means nothing, saints." What shall a man gain if he, you know, if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul life? That's terrible. Saints, we need to give our soul, consecrate your soul to Christ and the church. Consecrate your mind, your will, and your emotion, your soul life. Our soul life, our mind, our will, our emotion was created to enjoy God and to express God. Nothing's higher than enjoying God. And we touch God with our spirit, But we enjoy God in our soul. And we express God through our soul. Okay, 6. Their valuation of their body in comparison to the seriousness and consequence of sin. You know, the Lord says, He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you for you not to have that member than to enter into Gehenna, you know, which is Hades. And so, but the Lord's point isn't that you would do that literally, but that we would realize the seriousness of sin. Sin is seriousness. Your hand causes you to stumble. Your foot causes you to stumble. Your eye causes you to stumble. You have to realize how serious sin is. Sin is serious. That's why sin is so serious, brothers and sisters. That's why we need to give ourselves to enjoy the Lord every day. Enjoy the Lord. Be filled with the Lord every day. Enjoy Him every day. The first order of business for you in the morning is to make your soul happy in the Lord. Amen. That is the first order of business. That's what George Mueller said. His first order of business was, be filled with the Lord and His enjoyment. Okay, 7. Their valuation of hierarchical position in comparison to being slaves of the Lord and to one another. See, we don't have hierarchical positions in the church. We don't have bishops, right? We don't have cardinals. And aren't you glad that there aren't people sitting here with pointed hats on? And you know, we're just all brothers. Amen. And the Lord said, you are all brothers. Amen. And one is your teacher. One is your instructor. One is your father. All of you are brothers. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all on the same level. Amen. Right? And we're all slaves to one another. There's no hierarchy in the church. Then 8, their valuation of Christ as the treasure of justice in comparison to earthly treasure. I just have to read these things because of time. Their valuation of the enjoyment of sin in comparison to the unseen reward. Sin is a temporary enjoyment, but what can compare with the enjoyment of Christ? Saints, what can compare with enjoying Christ this weekend? I would like to tell everyone, I could tell that to everyone at the, you know, I don't know where, I guess it was played in Philadelphia last night or whatever. You could tell everyone at the World Series that. You know, I was at the World Series of enjoying Christ this weekend. That's right. More Jesus. I wish Derek Jeter could be here this weekend. I mean it. I don't know if he's saved. I hope he is. He needs to be saved. And I wish he could be in the church life. Because that's what's best for people. I have a diamond. I know what I'm talking about. This is the Lord's desire we're dealing with here. This is what it is. This is the meaning of life we're talking about here. This is no joke. We have it. We have the Lord. And we have the church. Okay, 10. Their valuation of the knowledge of Christ in comparison to all things. Nothing is higher than knowing Christ. D. Mary received the revelation of the Lord's death through His words, and thus she grasped the opportunity to pour out upon the Lord the best that she had. To love the Lord with our best requires a revelation concerning Him. A revelation concerning Him. Roman numeral 2. You know, we have people in the church, you know, I'm not going to name names, but we do have some brothers in the church that play, you know, they were like big stars in athletics. Big stars. Big stars. One brother, he was a star. I used to watch him play baseball. In fact, the first time I met him, the brother said, oh, there's so-and-so. I said, oh, is that the so-and-so? He said, yeah, that is the so-and-so. And so I said, oh my goodness, you know, I used to watch this person play when I was a kid. And so I said, oh, what am I going to do? You know, I wanted to be real spiritual, you know what I mean? And when I went over and talked to him, and so I went over and I said, And this is what came out of me spontaneously. Oh, brother, I used to watch you play when I was a kid. And he said, well, Ed, we're on the same team now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's too wonderful. We're on the same team. You know, another brother that I know that I love dearly, he would never tell you. He would never tell you that he, how famous he was. That means nothing to him. Nothing. The only way you'd be able to get an inkling is that he's 6'7". You know what I mean? And you might look at him and you go, well, maybe he did something with, you know, maybe he, you know. But listen, that's nothing to him. He would never let you know about that. Never. And I love this brother. And I have to reject myself when I get with this brother. You know what I mean? I can't ask him for his autograph. Are you kidding me? And my goodness. I'm not going to do that. Of course I wouldn't do that. I love this dear brother. He's just so priceless. Listen, I used to love it when I would come back from trips and my boys were little. One time I was on a plane and I was coming home. And there was this really famous, I mean super famous professional basketball player right in front of me. Right in front of me. And I was walking behind him, you know. And I'm walking behind him. I just come back from a trip like this. You know, you're enjoying the Lord. You just, oh, loving the Lord. And you're with the saints and you just filled with Christ. But I'm so happy to see my family, especially the little boys, you know. And they just went, they ran up to me, Daddy, Daddy. They didn't care at all about that professional star. All they wanted to see was Daddy, Daddy. Boy, now they would go, Dad, get out of the way. Yeah. There we go, Dad. You know. But my point is, saints, actually when my boys were little boys, they had the right concept of value. You see the point? Even humanly. You see, humanly, their concept of value was their daddy's home. I'm their daddy. You see, our concept of value is God is our daddy. Amen. He's our Abba. Amen. He's our Father. Amen. And Christ is the super excelling treasure in this universe. Amen. Nothing surpasses Him. Okay, I want to leave a lot of time for testimonies. Okay, Roman numeral 2. We're on Roman numeral 2, right? The Lord desires that we allow Him to have the first place in all things. The Lord Jesus should have the first place, the preeminence in our love, in our tripartite being, in our Christian life and church life, and in everything in our personal universe. Amen. Saints, it says in Colossians, everything in the universe coheres in Christ. That means everything in the physical universe is held together by Christ. Can you imagine? Paul saw such a revelation. He was not an astronomer. He was not a scientist. But God showed Paul that the stars, the galaxies, the moon, everything in this universe is held together, is glued together by Christ. Man, isn't that awesome? Do they teach that at MIT? But Paul did, right? Paul saw that. He saw that the whole universe is held together by Christ. Well, not just the physical universe, our personal universe. Saints, we have to make Christ our center. If Christ is not our center, then we fall apart. You see what I'm saying? He has to be the center of our personal universe. Now let's read B all together. To give the Lord the first place in all things. See, we're willing to be adjusted, we're willing to be broken, we're willing to be made nothing so that the Lord can have a way in us, through us, and among us for the building up of His body. Now let's read Roman numeral 3 together.
We must love the Lord Jesus and grasp the opportunity to love Him, to love the Lord is to appreciate Him, to direct our being toward Him, to enjoy Him,
What a statement this is, saints. Saints, let's appreciate the Lord. Hey, how about grasp the opportunity to love Him? You know, just like Ricky was saying yesterday, we need to grasp this opportunity. Grasp the opportunity to love Him. You know, in a little bit I'm going to sit down. Grasp the opportunity to come up and share, especially you who haven't shared. Grasp that opportunity to love the Lord, to appreciate Him, to direct our being to Him, to open Him, to enjoy Him, to give Him the first place, to be one with Him, to live Him, and to become Him. Mary did what she could. This means that she gave up her all. She lavished all on the Lord. She kept nothing in reserve.
Amen.
Saints, let's do this. Lavish everything on the Lord. Don't keep anything in reserve.
Amen.
Mary anointed the Lord's body beforehand for the burial. The word beforehand introduces the factor of time that should cause us to consider if in our love for the Lord we are pouring out our best upon Him today. Saints, today is a big word. What about today? This is why I tell you today, I do not want you to leave this conference without lavishing everything on the Lord. Whether you do it in this meeting, you do it in the car on the way home, you just pour out everything on the Lord. When we see the Lord face to face, we will love Him as never before, and we will pour out everything for Him. But it will be the most blessed for those who have poured out their all upon the Lord today. The disciples considered Mary's love offering to the Lord a waste, but the Lord intends that the gospel should cause believers to come to Him and waste themselves on Him. Wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be told as a memorial of her. This gospel refers to the gospel of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. The story of the gospel is that the Lord loved us, and the story of Mary is that she loved the Lord. We must preach both, the Lord loving us, and us loving the Lord. One is for our salvation, and the other is for our consecration. Now let's stand up and read the last point together. The gospel tells us how the Lord loved us, but the loving story of Mary stirs up our love for the Lord. Thus there needs to be a mutual love, and this must accompany the preaching of the gospel. Okay, very good. This is the goal of the gospel. Now, saints, we'll have some time for some testimonies. And again, I would say, if you have not shared, this is your time to share. Now, everyone listen to me. If you've shared twice, that's good. Because there's a lot of people who haven't shared. If you shared once, maybe the Lord would have you share again. Sean, how many times have you shared? Okay, so you can share twice. It's okay. You have a green light to share twice. Okay. If you shared once, you know, really have a praying spirit about whether you should share twice. But if you haven't shared, this is your time to share. Okay? Is everybody with me? Okay, very good. Oh, especially you had a time in the cabins last night, right? And I heard that that time was very, very precious. So feel free to share, not only on what was shared this morning, but anything that touched you this weekend.